welcome back to episode of Crew 3 Podcast. I'm Miles Ruckman, with me as always, and thankfully, both of them are here. We got Chris and Ricky. Chris, it's been a rough week, buddy, for you. How are you doing?
Hey, of doing course, good. Ricky. Doing good.
Hey, how are you doing too, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm holding up.
All right.
I think I'm going to make it.
And of course, I was. You were really touch and go there. You know, Chris, whatever, he'll be fine, but we're really worried about you.
The important piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, we are sponsored by our Patreon, patreon.com/crew3mtg. We got three tiers available, and for sure you're going to get the first exclusive will be out by the time this podcast is out, and Ricky and I talk about a fun piece of content we might get started on soon. More details to come once we sort of iron everything else out for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
We should
just film a test episode, and if we like it, then we move on. That's how we
do it. We'll probably do that. Sounds good. All right. Well, this week, not a big discussion episode. I was bouncing around some topics, but also I was like, you know what? We had three big events this weekend. There's a lot of spicy league deck lists. So how about we just focus on some cool decks the meta will focus a little more on and just talk about deck lists this week. And of course, next week, when we record, we should have Morrow's teaser post and then spoiler start on the 27th. So we'll head right into spoiler season because never ending hype.
Hype.
But of course, before we talk about meta events and decks in the Pioneer format and why Pioneers is so great, it's time to talk about what killed Magic this week.
Oh,
and what killed Magic this week is, hey, did you know there's a Pro Tour for Kamigawa soon?
I did know that.
Actually. No, there's not.
Well, sorry, there's a championship for it.
Okay.
Yeah. And surely, right, like, you know, obviously we can't have a big marquee paper event, but you want to show off the new cards for the paper format, right? In a format that would be dominated by them and not digital-only cards, right?
You would think.
Well, how about we throw that out the window like we did, throw them in the bin with our non-snow basics, and instead we just play Alchemy and Historic for the Pro Tour format.
Heck yeah.
That makes so much sense. Oh man, I don't know how I didn't see it.
Like, this just totally means Standard is dead, right?
I've been telling my friends Standard is dead, build Pioneer.
Yeah.
You know? It's just easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Alchemy is, you know, again, some people are gonna like it. I think it is an interesting format. I really do, but I think the problem is I don't think it's the face of the game. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, I don't think it makes a good face of the game. It's not what we're used to. And I think that's the problem, is that, like, your existing players are going, what? Like, what is this? Like, why? You know, maybe newer players like it. And again, I think if we were talking about Alchemy as like a, here's a cool thing you can do, like as one of the options, I'd be all for it. I think they're, you know, obviously they're not balancing cards themselves. So, like, we get a chance to test the cards and balance them. I think that could be really cool, but we're still lacking so many good formats, so many good playable formats on Arena. It just was such a terrible way to go when you don't have a good client, you don't have good formats on that client. So I think that's where, again, I'm just super confused. It's just, you know, hey, but they want to push digital first. So
my thing is, to me, Alchemy, well, yeah, I'm happy it exists because obviously, you know, give people another alternative, another format to play, even though the economy system on Arena is just so bad. Right. But like, you're already going to be showing off all these digital-only cards in Historic. To me, Alchemy is the alternative way to fix Standard. But we don't know what Standard is going to be, and so why not just let it be Standard?
Yeah, I think this is one of those problems where, you know, we talk about the casual player being so important right now to the Magic player base. And I think that is, you know, obviously the case. We've been talking about it more and more and how we're going to blend. I think this is the wrong way that they're trying to tackle that problem, which is like, hey, look, in our competitive tournament, we're going to have casual formats. And mm-hmm. I think that loses everybody because your casual player doesn't care, right? And your competitive player thinks it's stupid. So this is a lose-lose all around, right? I mean, that's kind of been the standard at WotC. Let's make as many lose-lose decisions as we possibly can. But I think that, again, Alchemy really could be a cool format. But like you said, this is a loss because who is it for? Right? You know, Ricky says that. We talk about the time. Who is this for? Who is this going to make happy? And nobody. I don't get it.
It's Alchemy's not for anybody. It just doesn't make sense as a format. Right.
Well, it's for the one person who's going to be happily sitting and watching 16 hours of Hullbreaker Horror mirror matches.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, I don't want to sound too negative on Alchemy as much as, like, I do the implementation of it, or, you know, why it was implemented instead of what it was implemented, the opportunity costs of Alchemy, which they claim weren't much, but, you know, I don't know. But yeah, again, the problem is just who is this for, right? Like, I think Alchemy is a really cool thing to have in the game. And I think it needs to be one of those things you highlight for the casual player, highlighting it in your competitive events when your competitive players hate Alchemy anyway. It's just the absolute wrong move.
I mean, like, I just sort of don't understand the whole digital only formats and stuff like that. I don't know how they can expect them to, like, just, I mean, they can drive digital only sales, I guess, but I'm like, how is that going to hype Kamigawa? You know, there's like cards that like, there's a two drop that makes all your dragons cost one less every turn. There's like a three drop card that makes a blood artist and then is also a blood artist for blood tokens and makes a blood token. Like, how do you think that like Kamigawa cards are going to compete with like these?
What's
like, busted
what's that
cards
like?
On
what's the Inquisitor card? Like that four man Inquisitor or whatever.
The one that like, if you have 24 cards that cost CMC three, it seeks two of them and puts one of them into play, one into your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. That card's insane.
Yeah.
Like, and then in Historic, it's just sort of like this hodgepodge of cards that really probably shouldn't be legal. You know, I just sort of, if you guys want Standard to stand on its own, let Standard stand on its own. Banned cards don't like a rat of them out of the format. I think that feels worse.
Take more time and care when you're designing cards.
I'm just saying, like,
they have all these pro level former pro level players in making this game, and at the same time, it just feels like they're just drinking dumb. I'm gonna say it, like, get ready for the dolphin sound. They're just all drinking dumb juice whenever it comes to working at Wizards, and they just realize like their deck building ideas just go out the window, like. You have Melissa Torres sitting here, like, and I always go back to this one, like, being like, we just didn't think to elk our opponent's cards.
Right. Right. I mean, they did think to elk their formats, though.
You have Modern Horizons, where we elked the format and just didn't test anything, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was the biggest thing to come out of Modern Horizons. Isn't Ragavan, isn't Urza Saga. It's having, like, Sam Black and Brad Nelson talk about designing every card in that set.
Right.
And then going, yeah, we didn't actually get to play with the cards. And again, you know, it's a tough time, right? It's a tough time. But I think the thing is, again, you look at that, and it took me 2 seconds to go, wait, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is this for? Why are we playing Alchemy? And it's like, it seems to me like what you really should be doing is trying to get streamers to play your product. You know, like, if you want Alchemy out there, then go to Twitch, right? Like, quit messing with my competitive formats and go to Twitch and get, you know, new Kenji to play your stupid game, or go buy somebody, go get a Pokimane. You know what I'm saying? Like, to play your game or something. Like, Dog plays it when they pay him to do it.
They do. I mean, I feel like if I look at Twitter, right, the people who I see liking Alchemy are the people who are just content creators.
And I think that's great for them, though. But then why is it here? I think that's the problem, is like it's just too much. You know, we don't know what we're doing and we're all out of ideas, right? Like, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas. That's the Wizards motto, right? We've made absolutely zero effort and we don't know what else to do. Like, it's just absolutely baffling to them how to make these decisions. And it's just like, you know,
and again, that's why
sometimes
this goes back to last. It goes back to last week of why we have this whole Pauper committee now.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's two steps forward, one step back. I mean, there are some cool things, like the interesting way to get around the LGS, which I know hurts the LGS, but the Secret Lair. Secret Lair is cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been really close on some of them and then just was like, well, you know, they ship like a Pringle. So, right, I mean, the delivery on them is not good. So, you know, they end up not being worth it. But there's some cool deals, ideas, I think, come down, right? I mean, Pioneer in general. The format that we play, right, invented by Wizards. We were so excited, right? We were like, wow, what a great idea this is. Like, you get Modern gets a little crazy. Let's make Pioneer. Boom. Brilliant, right? We've loved the idea from the get-go. We praised it from the beginning, right? You know, Fetch is being banned right off the bat. Great. And then there's nothing else banned. We get to test the format. Genius, Wizards, right? What an amazing idea to not jump ahead of it, because people were a little bit upset about how Modern started off with so much stuff banned, right? I mean, the first few months of Pioneer were really brilliant, and we really tipped our hats to Wizards. You can tell this is a complete 180 from where we started if you go back and listen to the first couple episodes of this show and how excited we were about a lot of things, right? And we argued about bans for content and all that stuff, but again, it's just week after week, you just scratch your head and go, is anybody in charge know what they're doing? Is anybody out there capable of just making like good idea after good idea? We just haven't seen it.
The thing is, like, in my opinion, like, the online digital formats, like, with all the cards that they've created like this, right? I'm sorry. I forgot what I was saying. I'm so mad. Don't like
the digital cards.
I'm so mad that I got upset. Oh, I was going to say, like, why would they errata cards rather than just ban them? Like, when you ban cards, it only makes people more excited about them. Like, Oko's price only went up when he got banned. Like, he didn't go down in price till he was literally actually factually banned in every format, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Uro got banned in Standard. His price went up. When you ban cards on Arena, you give people back the wild cards, and now they're like, well, I've got wild cards, let's try this new deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how banning cards is actually that bad for Standard. Like, I understand that it hurts, like, public opinion of cards, right? It hurts, like, the faith in Wizards as a company to run a format. But, like, everybody complains about, like, my cards lost all their value because they were banned. But, like, it's only raised the price of cards. Recently, at least, you know?
I will say, like, you know what makes me more worried about Wizards controlling cards? We have to, like, when we eventually errata, like, the same card five times if we just can't get it right, why didn't we just ban it in the first place?
That also, yeah.
I mean, in you know, Hearthstone errata cards, but it's different being a digital only game, you know, and again, it's just so different because if we wanted to play Hearthstone, we would just go play Hearthstone.
Yep,
right? It's like Hearthstone's a better Hearthstone than Magic ever will be, and could ever hope to be, because the people actually cared about that game, right? At least for the longest time. You know, Blizzard's gone downhill, so I was
just gonna say that. You know, the bright side today is we didn't wake up with the news that Hasbro bought Activision Blizzard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Or one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? But you know, clearly it does feel like something's happening and they need some help that hopefully, you know, Huey can provide and other people can provide to give them some guidance on where to go. Because like I said, these decisions have just been head scratching.
All right. Well, anyway, let's talk about good things because, you know, we're down on Wizards control of stuff, but Pioneer is just so great right now. Oh,
it's massive,
which is why, like I said, we're talking just pretty. Also, I'm so excited. I finally convinced one of the stores near me to start running Pioneer at a time that I can go to that isn't in the middle of downtown at like 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah!
So yes, you Ruckman's did it. Gonna start playing Pioneer. Ruckman I'm made doing it. Ruckman's doing it. All right, let's. Like I said, we got three big events. We've got some league dumps. We don't need to cover leagues, but there's been some spicy spice in the league dump from Monday. So let's get down to it. We start with the Super PTQ on Friday. So in eighth place, we have Cheecher Tech with Jund Citadel, not the food variant. We're on just straight Citadel here. In seventh place, we have Lava Ridge on that sort of mid-range Rakdos deck. You know, we got the Bloodthirsty Adversaries, the Bloodtithe Harvesters, the Trespassers, that whole build. Sixth place, we have Zach Attack 23 with Featherless Feather. In fifth place, we have House of Mana MTG on four color ascendancy. In fourth place, we have Frozen Sun 4 on Featherless Feather. In third place, we have Drevopolem on Orzhov Humans. In second place, we have Oddly Uneven on Celestia Humans, which honestly, we're just going to call this mono white because the only green card is Collected Company.
Right. It's an important one, though.
It's very important. And then in first place, I just want to big shout outs to Law 11, LAA 11, however you want to say the name. They've been grinding, and I see them every now and then in some of the queues. They're a super chill player. Really love interacting with them, and they've taken it down with a bit of a sweet brew here. We kind of took Arcanist, and we took the mid-range black deck, like the black-red deck, and kind of bumped it together a bit in this sort of Rakdos list here. So usually we start from the bottom and go up to the top, but I just want to start here. This deck is so sweet. So we got Lurrus the Dreamdead's Companion. We're playing one Archfiend's Vessel, two Citrus Supplier, four Vuldaren Epicure, two Bloodthirsty Adversary, four Bloodtithe Harvester, four Croxa Titan of Death's Hunger, one Duress, four Fatal Push, four Thoughtseize, four Deadly Dispute, two Dreadbore, two Fiery Temper, one Go Blank, three Claim to Fame, and some lands here. Our sideboard is three Duress, three Flame Blessed Bolt, two Lava Coil, two Self-Inflicted Wound, one Anger of the Gods, three Go Blank. And to me, I'm going to start off with just saying what our friend Ed said when he saw this deck list. You know what's the worst part about Croxa?
What's that?
Having to cast it the first time. So how about we just pitch it to Blood Tokens instead?
I mean, it sounds good to me. Yeah. This deck is sweet. I've been already messing around a little bit with like the Black Red Madness deck. Mm-hmm. This just looks like legitimized Black Red Madness.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like Epicure helping out your Bloodtithe Harvesters. It's so great.
Right. This deck seems sweet. I'm excited about this. If this can take down a super qualifier, like how are you not playing this format?
Right, like that's what.
Yeah,
this format's so open, which is what kind of what I wanted to do this episode. Like, you know, we usually talk about the same decks every week of the challenges, so let's take some time and highlight some fun stuff. And it's easy to do when you've got fun stuff winning the super qualifier. We're gonna talk about a couple sweet decklists from the challenges, especially a fourth place decklist that I already streamed. We got some sweet league decklists. Ah, Pioneer is so great.
Play Pioneer. Hashtag just play Pioneer.
Hashtag just play Pioneer.
This also has like an Archfiend's Vessel in it to like Claim to Fame or Lurrus back for the 5/5.
Yeah.
This is hot. This is such a. I just also want to like end Phoenix Watch. Clearly, there's not a Phoenix deck in this top eight. So you guys can end all investigations on the Phoenix deck. Don't worry about it, it's not good at all. I promise. I'm only winning every FNM I play it at because the deck's bad. You know, just don't worry.
Spoken like a true Pioneer player.
Yeah.
I just want to point out over half of this sideboard is dedicated to defeating Phoenix. I don't know what Phoenix did to this person, but clearly clearly it wasn't good. And I do want to point out, though, that the, you know, you look at the played cards in this PTQ, it does indicate that Phoenix was very, very popular, as were, like, you know.
Yeah, Chris, why don't you read out the top 10 cards for us in this event?
Yeah, our top 10 cards here, consider Soul Score Mage, Expressive Iteration, Opt. I mean, they're just Treasure Cruise, Arclight Phoenix. I mean, it's just all there, right? Like,
I don't know which, the favorite Hoplite's number 8. Ancestral Anger's number 10. Look at this. This is all, you know.
You know what's
fan favorite Hoplite.
You know what's really good right now, though? Mystic Dispute, only number 5. It's not number 1 anymore.
Exactly. Didn't you say you wanted a format where Mystical Dispute wasn't the number 1 played card? Well, now it's considered.
In the top 32, there were 4 Phoenix decks, but you know, we know more than 30 people showed up. So,
spoiler warning, Mystical Dispute is still the number 1 card in the other challenges.
I'm just saying, no, Phoenix didn't win, so why is it ban-worthy?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. I mean, I think...
I've never said Phoenix is ban-worthy. I've said other cards in the deck are ban-worthy.
Nope, none of it's ban-worthy.
You can keep your bin chicken.
Oh, man.
I think I just kind of wanted to point out that Phoenix was a very, very popular deck. And, you know, considers in 34% of decks, Expressive Iteration's in 28% of decks, which, you know, Expressive Iteration is a kind of a key Phoenix card now. That's kind of how you know. So, I mean, that's 30% of the decks are playing Expressive Iteration. That and, I guess, Ascendancy are another big version of it. You know, it's popular. So I think preparing for Phoenix was the number one goal. A lot of the sideboards, which were highlighted by Ekeros was very much saying, hey, sideboards aren't very good right now, right? So, you know. You play two of your three games if you're going to play three games with your sideboard. You can play a maximum of one unsideboarded game, right? All the other games you're going to play are with the sideboard. So the sideboard is so incredibly important. And I think we saw a player really capitalize on what could they do. It's like, hey, you know, I probably win the creature decks matchups already with the aggressiveness that I can do. I can beat some of the white decks. I've got some self-inflicted wound, some flame blessed bolt to kill opposing creatures, and it exiles phoenixes, obviously, and then lava coil to exoil starting a company there in Ravnica called Exoil.
Yeah.
Did you catch COVID or did you catch Italian?
I caught it. No. Lava coil kills your thing in the ice, right? So And then three go blanks just to really push in the Phoenix matchup. So I just want to put out two is we're going to highlight some of these, the importance of the sideboards that are figured out, right? I'm playing this deck a lot. I know my sideboard that can equal success right now in Pioneer.
Well, if you want to look at, oh, go ahead, Ricky.
I also love the Jund deck sitting here at eighth place. It's not, there's not anything in like, you know, too crazy wild here, right? It's the company build, but also with the house. Have you ever just, if you had two children and you just couldn't decide and you were like, you know what, we're playing the house and collected company. No, I don't want to decide anymore.
I feel like that's pretty standard with non-food is that you're playing company and Citadel.
I maybe I'm just dumb then because I have not seen a lot of Bolas of Citadel in the company builds.
No, I think it's pretty standard for a while.
Fair
now.
Enough. I can just be dumb. But also
I mean,
the one
I'm
of
not
Corvold.
Saying for this, but
I want to. I'm not the one of Corvold. I just want a company and see four Citadels, my Corvold, and an Elvish Mystic.
I'll take that Elvish Mystic to the bank.
We've got a lot of elves there. Was that seven elves?
Yeah.
Seven. That's five elves and four goose. Yeah, seven.
That's seven elves and two goose.
That's nine dorks.
Oh, no, it's five elves. Oh god, and we're so bad at math. Texas public education.
Is Innkeeper like a goose?
He gives you a treasure and then like the life.
He's basically a goose.
He gives you, I mean, like he's one mana and then he's the life goose adjacent. The life total. The life total really matters, right? Like it helps you keep padding your life total for the Citadels.
I also want to point out just like a weird thing I've noticed while looking at Pioneer deck lists, which I've been looking at a lot.
Sure. I'd hope so.
Nobody ever wants to play more than one Binding of the Old Gods, but everybody wants to play one. It is like any black-green X deck always has one Binding of the Old Gods somewhere in its 75, never two, never three, always one. It's always there, just ever-present, one Binding of the Old Gods, just in case.
Well, there will be a deck list coming up soon that will, you know, prove that wrong,
okay.
But okay.
That's fine. Do it.
Ricky, is there anything else you want to claim before I prove it is wrong?
Sure. I just want to say that I've never seen anybody play Soulscar Mage. I think that Eidolon is like a dollar rare, so pick them up now.
Okay.
And they unbanned Oko tomorrow in Pioneer.
Okay, cool.
All right. Anything else I missed?
No, I think it's pretty good. Oh, what about Lurrus? What are your thoughts on Lurrus?
Oh, you can use Lurrus to cast your spells back from the graveyard, so you can just Boros Charm every turn. It's pretty sweet.
Okay, cool. I like that. All right, let's go to second place here. Oddly even, like I said, playing like Mono White Humans. Got four Dauntless Bodyguard, two Giant Killer, three Kithion, Hero of Akros, four Thraven Inspector, four Luminarch Aspirant, four Thali's Lieutenant, three Thali Guardian Thraven, two Adeline, three Brutal Cathar, four Lee Spellbinder, four Collected Company. You know what? It's pretty clean. I like it. I gotta say, you know, I've been playing. I'm looking at my Slizzy Hero decks, my Slizzy Company deck list right next to me. It's the deck I didn't leave at the new apartment just in case, you know, because I gotta be ready in case I need to throw down at any point with Pioneer. So I decided to hold on to humans here. And honestly, like, I love Hamlet Vanguard, but the hype's kind of dying down on me.
Would you
no, say it ain't so?
Would you
the real problem with Hamlet Vanguard is that he never sees the creature that he enters with.
Oh, really? Off company?
Correct.
Oh.
Because it's an enters with and not at like and not a trigger when it enters the battlefield.
Oh.
So he never sees whatever you Coco in with.
That's interesting.
I think I might have to make some changes here.
This deck is sweet. I think Brutal Cathar is like my favorite white card I've seen printed in this year, this past year. And there's been a lot of really good favorite white cards that have been printed this past year.
Yeah.
I mostly love it because I was so mad playing against it in Limited that I had to love it.
Get Foil Apollos. Foil Apollos are like $4 right now. Like, oh, yeah. Pick those up. Those are sweet pickups.
I'm surprised you didn't ask me the flavor text of Elite Spellbinder during our flavor text challenge.
Just have you guess miss like the wrong pro?
I don't know. Throw me an easy one. You asked me so many garbage flavor texts.
That come on. The island was good. You gotta admit
the
that.
The island was the biggest. Or I think the worst was like the backside of some unplayable card. It's like, did you look on the back? No, I didn't look on the back of the bad card.
Did I ever tell you I did a job interview, right? And they gave me a stupid little like quiz and I finished it in like 10 minutes, but the pages were stuck together. So I did like only half of it.
Nice. That's solid, like, right there.
Yeah.
That's the crew 3 guarantee.
Looked like a real.
Oh man.
The crew 3 guarantees are new.
Dolphin noise at whatever this timestamp is.
Yeah. 25 minutes. I'm on a roll today.
All right. We are doing great today. There's a lot of featherless feather in this event.
It makes me happy.
Yeah, what do you think? Is it once again just people leaving all the removal at home?
Yeah, I mean you've got some decent removal protection from the little bit of removal that is around, right? Like your brutal cathars that are trying to mess with your plan and you know, control. It's like, well, you know, you're going to keep threat heavy your hands against control and run them out of removal, just like the Connor Mann 11 strategy, as I'll call it. He was talking about, you know, Hammer Time and Pioneer and what do? And the secret is, he was like, well, you never throw your cards down until you run them out of removal, because they're going to have to be afraid. So, you know, you can either run them out of removal for the turn where you run them out of mana, or, hey, just you have to answer what I have on the field anyway. So go for it.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, right, is that since aside Favorite Hoplite, our big threats have, you know, 10th District Legionnaire and Favorite Hoplite. Those you want to be targeting with your spells, whereas Swiftspear and Soulscar, they'll just grow on their own, right? So really you're only needing to protect one of the creatures, because your Hoplite, your 10th District Legionnaire, they're getting double triggers every time, because they're not really double triggers, right? But they're getting their own pump plus what you target them with.
Yeah, and like I said, as of right now, you know, what is 70% or something of your your pump spells are also cantrips. So it's like, you never mind throwing one or two out just to warrant the removal spell. And then from there, it's like, well, you know, I you don't run into gas like the other aggro decks do.
Yeah.
They're dependent on company. You don't need company in these decks because of how many cantrips you have.
And aside from like the mid-range Rakdos decks, right? Like most decks are like maybe 3 or 4 Fatal Push, and that's like it. We're seeing a lot less Lurrus Burn, a lot more of the like 8 Eidolon decks coming around. So, you know, those decks are really just playing like shocks. Like they're not really heavy on 3 damage removal. So you're one Prowess trigger away from just getting out of their burn range.
Yep, exactly right. Yeah, Anger of the Gods doesn't mean as much when you guys get to 4 toughness so easily.
Yeah, for sure. Let's come down to 5th place here. We have House of Mana MTG, like we talked about, like I mentioned earlier, on 4 Color Ascendancy there on just the Sylvan Caryatid build. And also no silence in the main. Okay, what do we got here? So we got 4 Op, 4 Consider, 4 Expressive, 2 Growth Spiral, 2 Mystical Dispute, 4 Sylvan, 4 Treasure Cruise, 3 Portable Hole, 1 Chain of the Rocks, 4 Ascendancy. You know, I don't know how much I like dropping Omnath and not picking up like the Paradise Druids.
What are we trying to pick up here? Just the full 4 Sylvan Awakenings and some Mystical Disputes? I don't know.
Yeah.
Mystical Dispute to main deck host some stuff seems pretty good. I mean, they went 8-0 through the Swiss, it looks like. So
they are also playing 2 Growth Spiral, right? That's not normal.
Yeah. Like, I'm never, like, whenever I see this stuff, right? Like, I'm never just being like, you made the wrong decision. I'm just really just trying to figure out, like, you know, personal preference versus my thoughts. Like, again, I think the big thing of dropping Omnath is that you get to have Paradise Druid, so you get the extra Banded Orc, so you can go off while you're still trying to find your Sylvan Awakenings.
True. Yeah, there's just so many Mystical Dispute targets right now. I can see it, right? I could see wanting to squeeze 2 of those in there for sure, so. Especially against, like, control, right? Because, like, a lot of times the control player thinks, you know, I just need one counterspell, one timely counterspell against the Ascendancy or whatever else. So the fact that it's a 1-mana counterspell like that, I think, most of the time, you know, I definitely could see it working against control. I don't know if it was lucky this time or what, but I think you do have to be careful. Like, you made a good point, right? Like, is this the build you want to bring against a bunch of aggro decks? Or do you want the Omnath that's going to gain you 4 life and be a big body?
Well, I still think Omnath is just bad right now. I probably wouldn't play Omnath regardless right now.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you give me the choice between Omnath or Mystical Dispute, I'm taking Omnath. And, you know, we run 4 removal spells, but I think that's kind of my point is just maybe it's not Mystical Dispute, but even then, you know, against the more aggro-heavy fields, which this definitely was earlier on, I think there was just so much Phoenix running through the Swiss. That's why Mystical Dispute was so good. This deck was able to race it. But against the aggro decks, Mystical Dispute's not doing anything for you. It's a 3-mana counterspell. And by that time, you're already dead, right? You look up and you're dead. So You know, you already have an okay matchup against some of that stuff because Karatid has Hexproof, and so you can block, you can Portable Hole and Chain to the Rocks, but you still would rather that spot be something better than that. So I really think that if you know that, you know, like this top eight had, there's going to be a lot more aggro because we didn't, you know, we didn't make it to the upper bracket here. We went off. Looks like we lost our first match in fifth place. You know, you're going to want to tech towards aggro more, maybe throw a Radiant Flames in the main deck or something like that, or just a red removal spell, which you have access to so many of, or play a couple more Chamber of the Rocks, even something like that in your, in your Ascendancy deck when you're expecting more aggro.
Yeah. Some of the fun decks to point out in this event, we have 14th place Angel's Company. I say fun. It's only fun for you.
Right.
Yeah. 20th place, here's Jun Food by Canepus 16. Here's what I was talking about. Look, Ricky, we got three Binding of the Old Gods. And yeah, that's kind of it. Like most other decks we've already kind of talked about.
You see that like a Angel's blue-white Company control list? Deck.
What about it?
They're playing red for a one of Alpine Moon in their sideboard because they too hate what they've become.
I think it's more so Lotus than just the mirror match.
I understand, but it's just sort of funny that like they added.
Yeah.
Just the red is just there because they added one self-hating card.
I mean, I can't wait for the Spider-Man pointing where you finally have the mirror match and you get to Alpine Moon your opponent, but still get to activate your Mutavaults.
Right.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to Saturday. Yep, Saturday, these always open in the wrong order. Yeah, Saturday the 15th. Come on down. Eighth place, we have Rep playing Bant Spirits. What have I been saying all along? Play Bant Spirits right now. Bant Spirits is really good, y'all. Really good. Play it.
I recently played against Bant Spirits last night at the Pioneer event that I went to, and he had not been playing Pioneer for a while, but like he turned one Spectral Sailor, then turned two Supreme Phantoms, right? He was looking pretty good. And then turn three, he dropped a Teferi Unraveler of Time.
Oh, and
I was like, you're going to have to draw a new card and try again because that's banned. And he's like, oh man, I thought this card would be great in this deck. And I'm like,
it was.
You're absolutely correct.
Speaking about playing Hearthstone.
Yeah. all right, moving up to seventh place, Tyrube 1618 with Hidden Strings. What are we on here? We're on the Ultimatum package. Sixth place, Oscar Franco on blue-white control. I'm going to call this blue-white control. I don't know why it's saying we're playing red here. Is there a card with red in the sideboard?
I don't even see right, the go land. Home,
go home, Goldfish. You're drunk. Fifth place, Life is Risk 7 by playing Is It Phoenix. We have fourth place, Seventh Prophet on blue-black rogues. And I got a little more insight on this deck list because I've did play a few games, so they're not a whole lot, but I got a chance to play with it on stream on Monday.
Oh,
the VOD is up
hot.
On the YouTube channel
this
right
deck
now.
Is hot.
Third place, we have Island Go CME playing Four Color Ascendancy with that Paradise Druid package I'm talking about. Second place, we have Canepus 16 on Jun Food. All right, well, Ricky, I'll give it to you. He's down to one, we're down to one Binding of the Old Gods.
I'm telling you.
But we got a second in the main, and we're playing Meat Hook Massacre now.
Oh no! You found that commander money.
We cut the two Citadel. We're playing Meat Hook in the main now, and then first place we have NJAMTG playing Enigmatic Incarnation. Who do we want to start with in this top eight? Do we want to start with Spirit with not Spirits with Rogues?
Can somebody finally just explain to me how Enigmatic Incarnation wins? Like, what do you do? Like, you sack an enchantment, you get a creature that's one bigger than the enchantment you sacked. That's it? Is that the end of the statement? This deck always baffles me. And I know that it's got to take like immense skill, see the matrix and stuff like that, right? But I'm always like looking at this deck and I'm like, how do you not just like get got?
The people that play Legacy Doomsday are still puzzled by this deck.
They're main decking Deafening Silence, and that's so rude. Omen of the Forge? Like, what is this card?
Besides Kill Phoenix?
It has Flash.
it does have Flash, yes.
I just... These deck lists, like, baffle me to no end. I could literally just stare and stare. Like, you could put this list in an art museum, and I would go, I'd pay $10, I'd look at it.
Cavalier of Dawn is hot in this deck list now.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I think you just get there with your five drops, right? Like, you're just trying to go four to five, and then...
Ricky, I want to point out that not only are they playing Deafening Silence, they're playing one Eidolon of Rhetoric in the main as well.
Is that tunable with Moon? It is, isn't it?
They don't want any other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Do you, like, they're playing, like, they nine lives in the board. They're playing Oath of Chandra in the board. Like, you know, I just...
We came to play.
They do come to play. I'm not talking bad about anybody who plays this deck.
What's the price you pay?
You know, teach me. What cave do I have to go to in a cloak to learn how this deck is
played? Well, you have to find a cave with the waterfall in it so you can sit under the waterfall.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Just don't go chasing the waterfalls.
Right. It's That's like an 80-card deck. You guys got Yorians and like...
Ricky, it's okay, buddy. Just calm down. Just stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
I just want to sleep at night. But I got to think about what my opponent could possibly go into. Anyways,
hey, you want to beat Phoenix? How about playing four main deck Narset Parter of Veils in your blue-white control deck?
Yeah.
Phoenix can't beat Narset, trust me. I've been on the side of it. There's just nothing you can do. You play a Phoenix and try and attack it down. That's what you honestly try and do. And then it gets Azorius Charmed, and then you cry. It gets countered, you cry again.
The smart players never minus their Narset a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Should never minus it the first time.
Sometimes. Yeah, you never minus it the first time. I did get to galvanic a Devil's Play to kill a Narset yesterday.
There you go.
Is Devil's Play legal in Pioneer?
Huh?
Is Devil's Play legal in Pioneer?
Play with Fire?
There we go. That's the one.
That's the one. It's got Devils on it.
It's got Devils on it. All right.
The only problem you have is that people like me will play either Big Chandra or that blue-red enchantment that makes you draw cards and take two damage. I forget what it's called.
Fever Visions?
Fever Visions, yeah. Yeah, I am a monster. I will put that in my sideboard if there's too much control popping around and just take my free win on turn three.
Look, like, I'm playing Sphinx's Tutelage, which is even better.
All right, let's...
Go ahead.
Let's stop talking about Phoenix. Stop talking about control. Let's talk about the deck I want to talk about.
Okay.
The real hotness in this topic.
Let's see it.
Let's talk about Dimir Rogues.
Okay.
Four Thieves Guild Enforcer, four Soaring Thought Thief, two Brazen Borrower, two Nighthawk Scavenger, two Notion Thief, two Xerath Sand the Trickster, two Sworn the Mirthless, four Consider, four Fatal Push, four Thoughtseize, four Drown the Lock, two Dig Through Time, and some lands.
Zek's really cool. Notion Thief is unreal.
It's great. Mainboard Notion Thief's hot. I'll tell you the cards I wasn't super fond of. Xerath Sand underperformed and Nighthawk Scavenger underperformed for me. I can see matches where I'm sure they're a little more playable, but like, you know, they just didn't do it for me when I was playing the deck. You know, granted, I played the three matches on camera. I played a match or two off camera. It just wasn't really doing it for those cards. Just weren't really doing it for me. To me, this deck is like, you want to play Spirits, but you also want to interact a little more than Spirits does.
Right. I think this deck is sort of sweet. I mean, Thoughtseize, Fatal Push, Drown in the Lock is like just a good way to like excite me every morning, you know?
The real problem is, though, you love seeing the Devil spells, and you don't like seeing the Devil spells. Because Dig Through Time, that's real rough against you. Because they get to drop your Drown in the Lock count. But Treasure Cruise, you got Notion Thief for.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Go ahead. Notion Thief is huge here.
Galvanic your Treasure Cruise. I will flash in Notion Thief and draw six cards.
Thank you for the new hand.
Yeah. Very cool. Very sweet. Love to see, you know, once again, look at Pioneer. Being cool. Having, like, awesome brews. Like, doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Xerath Sand the Trickster to just, like, steal something sweet. Right?
To just dunk on Saffron Olive on stream.
Right. Steal your opponent's Omnath. I don't know what else big gets played. Can he steal Planeswalkers?
He can steal any permanent.
Oh, yeah. Steal their Teferi. See how it feels to be the hero.
Yeah.
I mean, their Teferi already got Thoughtseize out of existence, but I definitely hear you there. Hey, I wanted to point out there's a Sorin in this deck. Brad tweeted, Brad and I have been on the Soren train, it seems like, from the beginning. I didn't get his initial reactions,
don't act like you were alone on that. I love Soren.
Yeah, we love Soren too. I Brad tweeted today and he was like, Soren makes every deck better, and I was just like, man, that's just true. Soren is so good. But it is tough when you're playing it alongside the medium sized Chandra, because everybody knows how good medium sized Chandra is. But
oh man, but I tell you what though, in the stream I was at one life, I plus Soren, and I saw any card that was a land, I said, I'm going to leave that right there. The next turn, I plus Soren, and I said, oh, that's a land. I'll take that one, please.
There you go. Draw it up, please.
You just didn't take it? You backed out of your Bob?
Yeah, I was at one.
Makes sense.
And I couldn't minus, because I wanted to keep the Soren around. So I was like, oh, we will plus to go to three. I will minus next turn. Oh, that's a fatal push. That could stay on top.
Yeah.
Land? I'll take it. Give land, please.
We'll take lands.
Let's talk about anything else in this top eight. Anything else in this top eight that's pretty interesting? You know, let's go up to food real quick. What do you think about Meat Hook Massacre over?
I'm gonna be straight with you.
Over Citadel.
Maybe not over Citadel, but if Meat Hook Massacre was a $20 card, every deck would play two of it.
Oh, 100%.
But it's a $50 card, and I don't know what it's like on MTG Arena. Or sorry, MTGO.
It's like 32 ticks on Midgo.
Jeez. So like,
Commander.
Yeah. I would just sort of probably not play it until it gets cheaper. Maybe it gets reprinted. You know, maybe all the copies that we get from Double Feature finally lower the price of the card.
There's no way.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I think that this card sort of is one of the few cards in Pioneer that really like prices people out.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessary, but I think it's, like, probably better than some other cards you could be playing.
I think the hope is that it just ends up in, like, a Challenger deck at some point in the next year.
Ooh, that would be nice.
Right? Like, even as a one-of, I'll buy two of the decks.
Yep. Two $25 decks on Amazon, and you have two Meat Hook Massacre plus a bonus.
Plus extra cards. Coming on down to 12th place, we have X-File on Lurrus Burn here. If you take a Lurrus Burn, we're full on Burn here. And we saw this deck a little bit last week. Four Monastery Swift Spear, four Voldawn Epic here, four Eidolon the Great Revel, four Play with Fire, four Boros Charm, four Incendiary Flow. Those of you that don't know, Incendiary Flow is a 2-mana sorcery, 1 and a red. Incendiary Flow deals 3 damage to target creature or player. If that creature dealt damage this way, it would die this turn, exile instead. Four Lightning Strike, one Searing Blood, four Skullcrack. Hey, Ricky. We up the Fiery Temper count to 3 now for our blood tokens. Then we have 4 Skewer the Critics. We saw this deck a little last week, really all in on Burn. What do you guys think?
So Skewer the Critics is a card that I think is actually like, I go back and forth on all the time. It's like really good and really bad. Like the problem is like it's a sorcery and you want to deal damage first. So like things like Any prowess creature doesn't like this card. So if you have like if you're on like the prowess decks and stuff like that, you know, you're not really gonna want to be playing that as much, you know. What do you guys think about the deck as a whole? I've sort of built like the typical red white burn, like the sort of straight standard, just 4 Eidolons, like mostly all prowess creatures build for Rachel to play. Because she loved mono red in Eldraine Standard.
I think one of the big things here is the sideboard featuring 4 of P-Corruption. Nothing is getting Chained to the Rocks on this day, my friends.
No, we're safe from the rocks.
Safe from the rocks. Like, 2-3 more Searing Blood in the sideboard. Searing Blood is so big. What is... Okay. I guess Steam Vents is just for P-Corruption? Or board an extra land here? Is there a particular reason why Steam Vents?
That's right. I mean, this challenge is insane. Like, there's Mono Blue Spirits. There's a Winota deck running around here. There's Big Green. We're just playing Ugin's, Embercools, and Cavalier of Thorns, along with some Worldbreakers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So this deck, we have to go over the Big Green deck. It only went 3-3, but still, you know, still good, I think. And if you can go 3-3, I think, in this kind of super qualifier, I think that's fun. This is, we got to play this or go for this because this is going to make Mild Pro happy.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about it then. So we have Mono Green by SG Cyrus over in 26th place, 4 Arboreal Grazer, 2 Elvish Mystic, 2 Lenore Elves, 4 Cavalier of Thorns, 2 Worldbreaker, 1 Emrakul, The Promised End, 4 Ugin the Spirit Dragon, 4 Bonds of Flourishing, 4 Cultivate, 4 Nissa's Pilgrimage, 4 Oath of Nissa, 1 Arch of Araska, 4 Castle Garenbrig, 9 Forests, 3 Lair of the Hydra, 2 Radiant Fountain, 2 Sanctum Ugin, 4 Shadow of the Frigate, Sacred Nuts. So really, this is actually a deck that's been around in Pioneer for a while. It kind of disappears, right?
Is this 2019?
Yeah, it feels like it, right? Bonds of
Flourishing, even?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a 2019 deck.
And I love it. Like, this is a deck that, like, every time there's not a chance for, like, mono-green Planeswalkers to be around, I always think of, like, is it time to bust out the Cavalier of Thorns and the big Eldrazi?
That's my thought, is, like, you know, again, just in this format, there are no Eldrazi, right? I mean, just how crazy is that? I mean, I know it's a little bit tougher to run, but there's plenty of fast mana around, and we just don't see the, you know, the mid-range Eldrazi deck running around, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
I think that could be a fun deck to start on. You know, they're certainly not very expensive, but maybe it's a little more expensive than I think for all the good budget decks you can have. But this, I don't know, this is just interesting to me, you know? But there's decks like this all over this challenge. Like, people came out to play with their fun decks. We got to see the other day, like, I was watching Ricky draft, and I got to see how insane Geistlight Snare was. And it was just so insane. I mean, it was...
Oh, Geistlight Snare is very good. My problem with Geistlight Snare is like...
was just like, oh.
Yeah, well, like, the thing is, right, in, like, the Mono Blue Spirits deck list, so we come up to 17th place with Waldo 4-2-3, right? So we're on the Ascended Spirit, Mausoleum Wanderer, Spectral Sailor, Rattle Chains, Shacklegeist, Supreme Phantom, Cemetery Illuminator, Dream Shacklegeist, Miscast, Geistlight Snare, Curious Ob, Face Saving Snowcovered Island. Like... it's, you get into really weird situations where, like, yeah, if you get to do, like, one drop spirit into, like, Curious Ob, leave up Geistlight Snare, like, that's great. But if they catch you in that, like, and I think that's why Miscast here is such a big deal, because what it lets you do is it lets you still be able to protect your guy if they try to, like, fatal push you when you're going for the Curious Obsession. Whereas, like, if you don't have the Curious Obsession right, like, Geistlight Snare cost you too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think playing the Miscast here is actually a big deal now, and a big upgrade and a good switch for this deck.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the big deal is how well it complements the Geistlight Snare. Because what you're really trying to do is, Geistlight Snare is your catch-all, but you do want to still have a couple Miscasts running around to protect your creatures, right?
Yeah.
It is just more versatile than Dive Down and Dive Down type effects. Otherwise, you know, you have to imagine this card's a Dive Down a great majority of the time. Not all the time, but, you know, just a majority of the time. And then you're going to catch your Planeswalkers every once in a while. You're going to catch your Collected Companies, maybe a Bowls of Citadel every now and again, things like that. Mm-hmm. But you're really trying to protect your creatures with the Miscast section of this, I imagine, more often than not.
Yeah. I mean, the deck is really just like, can I stick a one drop? Okay. Now I just want to slow my opponent down for a couple turns. Maybe we get to land another threat or two, you know, pop a big spell. We don't care about if they're opting, but like, oh, no, I want to counter that thing, right? And it's just such a really well-kept tempo package that is under $100 in paper, right? Yep. Like, even with the $20 in snow-covered islands, like, if you cut those, you cut the Ascended Spirit, play a different one-drop, right?
The Mausoleum Wonder, I mean?
It's already on Mausoleum Wanderer.
Oh, yeah.
You'd probably have to play, like, Siren Storm Tamer, which, you know, doesn't count to your spirit count, right? But, you know, if it makes the deck cost $60 instead of $80.
There's just no way you can't scratch together the Snow-Covered Islands. You know what I'm saying? Like, make some friends.
It's so weird, though. But, like, the problem with the Snow-Covered Lands was, I don't think I really talked about this a whole lot, is that Kaldheim, they kind of screwed us over in that you could open Snow-Covered Gates.
And you got so you more often
you
than
aren't
not.
So you get less Snow-Covered Basics. Like, if Kaldheim was just Snow-Covered Basics every box and maybe in every pack, and then, you know, we just had a high gate rate, it would be a different story. But the problem is, like, I open, like, two boxes of Kaldheim, and I only have, like, 6 Snow-Covered Islands.
Yeah, fair. I mean, but like I said, people are trying to get rid of them still. I mean, there's just no way, you know? Like, I can't believe they're a dollar a piece. Like, And maybe you pay a quarter for them instead or something like that. But like I said, I think if you're crafty, you can find them and build this deck easily. And again, what you're really doing here is playing off your opponent's fears. What you're hoping is that your opponent sees untapped blue mana and is paralyzed into doing nothing. And that's when you get to flash in a bunch of creatures to just put them even further behind and then do it again on the next turn. Like once you've got a couple creatures in play, that's all you're looking for. But a smart opponent will just like play into you over and over again because, you know, it's like, what else are you going to do? The second they play scared and let you get more threats down, it's kind of over for them. So that's really kind of your strategy with this deck is hopefully you've got an opponent that's not as familiar with how Spirits plays and you can kind of just run over them. But week to week at a local metagame, you know, this is a fun deck to break out, but and very inexpensive, good to learn to play. But if your opponent starts catching what's going on, it becomes more of a skill, more skill intensive than I think it sometimes
definitely is. All right, anything else to shout before we move on? Oh, go ahead.
I'm good. I was gonna say, like, the Geist Light snare play, I think, like, honestly though, like, I think it's great because you just sort of play to the nut hand. Like, this is just one of those decks where, like, the nut hand is really just kind of unbeatable. Like, if you just have, like, two island, one drop, obsession, Geist Light snare on the play, you just sort of, like, run away with the game. Like, it's just sort of over.
Yeah, Mausoleum Wander reduces the cost by two, or do you have to have two different creatures?
You need to have a creature and an enchantment.
Okay, gotcha.
To reduce the cost by two. But, like, you just sort of... If your opponent plays like a tap land or anything that's not like a red or a black open, like, you can just sort of like go for the enchantment. And then when that resolves, you're just solid.
Yeah.
And like, I honestly think a lot of times if you're just missing the Geist Light snare, it's worth putting the enchantment on and swinging and seeing if you draw it on your extra draw. Like, honestly, like the nut hand or the god hand of that deck is just so powerful.
And I think there's more curiosities you could even be playing if you really want to take advantage of it. I think that card, again, I'm such a big believer in the snare. I think that you could either play, you know, another different blue enchantment or, or curiosity effects or another kind of enchantment if you really want to take maximum advantage.
All right, let's move over to Sunday's challenge. In eighth place, we have Showtime with our black-red mid-range deck. Pick up a Liliana Death's Majesty main board now. Kind of interesting there. Moving up to seventh place, we have Veraqua with Is It Phoenix? Sixth place, you have Carnage Cards ENT with Niv to Light. Fifth place, you have X-File back once again with the Burn decklist with a couple more changes. I do want to bring this back up again. Fourth place, we have Kanepis with, once again, Jun Food on Meadhook Massacre tech. And third place, we have Sneaky Misato with Jeskai Ascendancy. Second place, we have Ramzamella 7 with our Jund Food deck list. In first place, Fink 64 with our sort of big red deck, dropping Torbran. So we'll start here. Like I said, we got the big red deck. We added Monastery Swift Spear. We're on 4 Soul Skarmage. We added a Zergo Bell Striker, 4 Cemetery Gatekeeper, 4 Island of the Great Rebel, 4 Bonecrusher Giant, 4 Goblin Chain Whirler, 4 Chant of Torture Defiance, 4 Play with Fire, 4 Lightning Strike, 23 lands. So we dropped Torbrand. We dropped a couple other things. We dropped Rampaging Frostsun for the main. Like I said, we added Swift Spear. We're keeping Chainweller. Chainweller, a big point of discussion on the Discord. So I'm curious to see what you guys think about Chainweller right now. Obviously, you know, we had a lot of people saying it's not great right now. I will say I'm a defender of Chainweller. I'm curious to see what you guys think of Chainweller right now.
I have a lot of opinions on Chainweller right now. Are you ready?
And should it be banned? Is it banned?
Not bannable.
Banned?
However.
Not bannable?
Especially with the new comic I was coming out, Orzhov Auras is going to get big again. And I've played the Mono Red versus Orzhov Auras match a lot recently, just due to my metagame. Chainweller is really important because when you play it, it kills all of the protection creatures that the Auras deck is going to have around to like keep their big guy safe, right? It kills the white Aeslid, and it kills the Selfless Dog.
Yeah.
Right?
And Selfless Spirit.
And Selfless Spirit, if they're playing that. It just kills all of those dead, right? And then, of course, they're going to protect their big guy in response. That's fine. And then after that, it can block with First Strike plus a removal spell, essentially acting like a second Lightning Strike with the First Strike damage here. It can really be a big blowout because the big problem is, like, once they get to 5 toughness or something like that, they feel very invincible or six toughness, especially because they're like, well, you can't just have like a play with fire and a lightning strike or a, you know, a two damage and a three damage spell or stomp into something else, right? You need to specifically have two lightning strikes. And with the Goblin Chain Whirler out there, he sort of threatens, you know, they got Grisspoon, doesn't really matter. But I just do think that this card is really good in Orzhov Auras, and it doesn't seem like it, but it is very good. It really opens up the ability for you to try to kill a creature that's gotten out of hand.
The other thing, too, is, like, it's such a great combo with Soulscar Mage. Like, you're going to put a negative counter on all their guys instead of dealing damage.
Right.
And with, you know, other red decks running around, like, even if we're not seeing a lot of mana dwarfs right now, right, like, it turns the heat off of vampires a little bit because they're not really playing Lord effects, right? Vampire is kind of a rough matchup anyway, but it takes all of their two power guys down to one. That can be pretty relevant. The other thing I think about it with is, hey, we see these Ascendancy decklists running out of decks. You know, I still think that Sylvan Caryatid is one of, if not the best 2-drop in the format still. And what does Chain Whirler do with Caryatid? Well, it lets you attack with your Eidolons into a Caryatid, and now your opponent's got to think, does he have the Chain Whirler? Could I just lose my Caryatid here? Even if it also kills Paradise Druid if they're on that tech, right? Chain Whirler is really interesting to me in that it can be a mind game pre- or post-combat. Like, sometimes you could play it pre-combat just to punk your opponent out of blocking. Other times, if you want to try to go for a blowout, you just play it post-combat, right? Like, you have all these two toughest guys, and a lot of Pioneer and toughness only goes up to three a lot of cases. And so if, you know, you make a kind of bold attack here, opponent's like, all right, well, I block with my Caryatid. Well, now you just get to eat with Chain Whirler later on.
Right.
Yeah, after the fact. I think the most OP part about Chain Whirler that a lot of people forget when they look at it, because that comes on a playability, so it has been historically so important, right? People forget that it attacks for free. You don't have to pay mana when you turn it sideways, right?
It is the biggest guy on the board.
And that's the thing about it, right? Is it, what vampires block in Chain Whirler? You got a Death Touch? That's cute. I've got First Strike, right? The First Striking ability on this helps you in so many of the creature matchups. And what I think people can be missing with this, you know, as far as the Discord conversations we're talking about earlier, where this doesn't get its due is, one, you know, for the red, there's just not a better option in three. And two, it matches up so well with all these creature decks we're seeing trying to beat up on Phoenix. You know, it doesn't necessarily match up the best against the red-white decks because they can pump their guys so effectively. But you get a lot of them early on. It certainly outclasses any of them if they've just gone threat. You know, they can't block, right? You can block here, and they have to be worried about, you know, they have to preemptively pump. So if they're pumping first, you can then respond with a lightning strike or a play with fire, whatever it has. It makes them have multiple threats if you're on defense because you get that first strike. Since you win combat for free, right? Unless they're casting, you know, pump spells. But again, we can respond to those. So that's where I think that this card gets forgotten, is the combat stats of this card dominate most of the creature dominant meta that we're in. It picks off all of the stuff from, or it doesn't pick up all, but it picks off Innkeeper is a new one toughness card that's important that the ability gets, but just attacking and blocking with this card makes it strong enough as a 3-3 first striker in the metagame we're in right now. Not great against Phoenix, but like I said, our burn package with the 8 Eidolons is enough against Phoenix.
Well, and I do think that is the key, right? Like, I'm not playing Chain Whirler in Lurrus Burn. Obviously because you can't, because of Lurrus, right? But like, I'm not going to play this in that style of deck where we're like, all in on getting those pressures. I want to play it in this type of deck where we are just getting that incidental damage. And guess what? Chain Whirler, besides being a big threat, is also incidental damage.
Yeah. And I think the important part here is we get a buy against Phoenix a lot of the time because of how powerful our Eidolon effects are, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, there's just nothing that can be done. I mean, again, if they get lucky on a Anger of the Gods, that's one thing, and that definitely can't happen. But, you know, Chain Whirler is the rest of the matchups. We don't need Lurrus against the random aggro decks. That's not going to help us. Chain Whirler really does. So I think that's where that kind of stuff, you see the difference.
Let's talk about the other red deck. Come on down to fifth place, X-File here. Again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. So now we're playing 2 Insult in the Innate, 4 Monastery Swift Spear, 4 Voldarn Epicure, 4 Island on the Great Revel, 4 Blood, 4 Play with Fire, 4 Boros Charm, 4 Lightning Strike, 2 Searing Blood, 4 Skullcrack, 4 Fiery Temper, 4 Skewer the Critic. So we added the 4th Fiery Temper. We added 2 Insolent Neonate. What do you think of the changes here?
So Insolent Neonate is, in my opinion, a little strange. He is a menace, right? And we do have 4 Fiery Temper, but like, you have to sack him off. And like, Epicure just gives you the blood token. I don't see the Neonate as much. Like, we're not playing the full-on, like, vampire strat where all our vampires have madness, so I don't really see a reason why we play this card. I guess it draws us back when we madness.
Yeah.
It's just a two of. It seems odd to me.
I mean, it's just a little extra help to for that one more fiery temper, right?
Maybe, yeah. There's like other one mana blood makers though, right? In red, maybe not. It's just the
no epicure. Blood Fountain is two mana.
Blood right? Fountain is one mana, but it's black.
Yeah.
And then the blood statue is two mana.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe we just needed like just a little bit more for triggering the fiery tempers.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like this deck because I don't dislike it. It's really cool. The four main deck Skullcrack means that we came expecting something.
I think it's for like Jund, right? Like, sorry, you're not going to gain like four life this turn,
right? You're not just going to like incidentally gain life off your cats and Phoenix and Innkeeper triggers.
Yeah, yeah.
It also like randomly hoses some random stuff because damage can't be prevented. Mostly yeah. 9 lives. Skullcrack your 9 lives opponent. Laugh. Cry.
Let them call the judge over.
Yeah. It'll be a whole event. But this deck seems interesting. Searing Blood main deck honestly just makes sense. I'm surprised yeah. that they haven't started doing that a little sooner. 2 damage kills like literally everything that costs 2 mana in this format.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring it on down to, let's talk about 20th place. We have Top Grinder with Obosh Mono Red, 4 Getu Lava Runner, 4 Monastery Swiss Beer, 4 Soul Scar Mage, 4 Bone Crusher Giant, 4 Chandra Dress the Kill, 4 Play with Fire, 4 Wild Slash, 4 Light of the Stage, 3 Skewer the Critic, 4 Wizards Lightning. I always said Wizards Critics. That's us. We're the Wizards Critics.
We're the Wizards Critics. If we could go back in time and rename the podcast, that'd be it, wouldn't it?
What do you think? So obviously,
is hot. Does it slap?
Say, Obosh Burn's kind of like a big thing in Modern, right?
Obosh, yeah. Obosh Aggro is a big thing in Modern because all the free, like, Fury is 5 mana, so you can play it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you get to double up Fury evokes and stuff.
Okay.
I like that this deck does have the ability to sideboard into a deck that can no longer Obosh. We do have 4 Roiling Vortex in our sideboard. But that can just sort of get... I mean, that just sort of gets random Lotus players. And what else is casting free spells right now?
Bard class. I cry every time.
Okay, and Bard class.
The thing is, Bard class doesn't even let me cast my spells. I have to play them for free.
Oh my gosh. Can I spend mana on this? No. All right.
Don't worry, Ruckman. Don't worry, Ruckman. I got this. Thanks, Bard class. Yep.
This deck is sweet. Chandra Dress to Kill is a card that I think about a lot for a lot of reasons. But on this podcast, it's family friendly.
Some of them we can't mention.
Right. I think this card is really sweet. I've recently been like wanting to pick some up to upgrade my 3-mana Chandra from Tribal Chandras, which uh-huh. has been on a great record lately. It's the lend out deck that I give to people, and I just tell them like, don't burn face, burn creatures, and you'll win. And it's now gotten 2nd place and 3rd place at 2 FNM level events. So,
yeah, the problem with Chandra Dress to Kill is I have to buy the $20 version and not the regular art.
Right. Yeah, I like both versions, but you know, I get it.
Yeah. All right, last deck I want to talk about once again, Mono Blue Spirits, 29th place. Pick up Icon of Ancestry, which I think is pretty spicy, actually.
Man, the spiciest card for this deck is not getting played in any of these lists that
I've seen. It's not playing Illuminator. Okay, so we dropped Illuminator. We're playing Icon of Ancestry and Spectral Adversary now. Okay, that's the change we made.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's like I like the Illuminator.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the Geistlight Snares though.
What's the card you're thinking of, Ricky?
It was Illuminator. I didn't see it in the last list we were looking at.
I was playing 2 in the last one.
Oh, was it? I can't read.
Texas Public Education.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go sort of wrap things up with the league here. The few deck lists I wanted to pick out. Come on down, 5-0. Of course, these are all 5-0. So let's talk about Frigor Ferroroso. Oh, Jesus, this is a problem. Why do I do this to myself every time?
Frigori Ferroroso.
Yeah. All right, Ricky did it. Yeah. Thank you, Ricky. All right, we have one Lurse of the Dream Den, three Blister Pod, three Hunted Witness, four Stitcher Supplier, four Cartel Aristocrat, two Cruel Celebrant, four Fated Artisan, four Priest of Forgotten Gods, four Seder Wayfinder, four Zulaport Cutthroat, three Return of the Ranks, one Call of the Death Dweller, three Rally of the Ancestors. I'm going to be honest. Rally of the Ancestors, always going to have a special place in my heart. Just thinking about like the first Hunter Burton Ricky and I went to. How many packs did we buy to fight a Sultai Emissary?
It was Kasari Sadist.
Oh, it was Kasari Sadist, that's right.
The
look of disapproval when I boarded out a Rally of the Ancestor and Ricky saw me.
The deck is called Rally of the Ancestors.
Yeah, sometimes you need to board out one.
I love this deck. This deck is really cool. Do we have a way to sack everything for free?
We got the
Aristocrat. Yeah.
Yeah, Cartel Aristocrat. Yeah.
I was like, we need a way to sack our whole board away. Is there any other cutthroat effects we could be playing? No, right? Just one in Pioneer?
No. Yeah. Let's play like Mayhem Devil, but then we can't Lurus.
Yeah, we can't play that.
There's the enchantment that's three mana. We're kind of locked
in here.
This deck
is probably a little bit better than Zombie Rally, but I think that Zombie Rally is easier to play.
Yeah.
It looks very simple. Like, oh, I play a bunch of guys, fill my yard, rally, win. But I think this is a little more, because we're playing with Lurus, we don't have like a Mogus Marauder to haste our whole team. We don't have
We're not playing the Knights. We don't have like an insta-kill, right?
Right.
From zombies.
But,
I mean, Fiend Artisan just gets big. Like, that's good enough sometimes.
No, we need to, like, sack our whole board. Actually, Fiend Artisan, actually, when we rally, he will be very small.
Yes. But until we rally, he will be very mighty.
Right. Sometimes you just give him the people's elbow.
That's right.
Sex seems sweet. Dawnbringer Cleric is a card in the sideboard that I would expect. I thought it would have seen more by now.
Yeah, it's kind of getting outclassed by just, like, Rest in Peace, right?
But it's just sort of like, In the humans decks and in the creature decks just in general, it has so many modes that are all relevant.
Okay.
That I'm just amazed that we don't see it a lot more in sideboards.
Alright, that's fair.
You know, like, you can eat a Phoenix or eat a Galvanic Iteration out of a yard. You can gain 2 life against Burn and then he blocks. You can destroy a Chain to the Rocks or a Jeskai Ascendancy that they got left out in play. I just feel like all their modes are hittable.
All right, that's fair. That's totally fair. The deck right under it, we have Fuse 65 with Grixis here, 2 Jace Friend's Prodigy, 3 Smoldering Egg, 4 Nicol Bolas the Ravager, 1 Nicol Bolas Dragon God, 1 Blood Chief's Thirst, 1 Cling to the Dust, 4 Consider, 3 Fatal Push, 3 Thoughtseize, 1 Dragon's Fire, 4 Expensive Iteration, 1 Heartless Act, 4 Silmagar Scorn, 1 Go Blank, 1 Cold Against Command, 1 Baleful Mastery, 2 Dig Through Time. It's Grixis control.
Never underestimate somebody who just wants to put Nicol Bolas in a deck and beat you.
Yes.
Turns out blue, black, and red are just good colors, and they have a lot of good cards, and you're going to get run over by very expensive Nicol Bolas cards, they're just going to value you out 2-for-1, 2-for-1, 2-for-1. Remember back when like Pioneer first started, like Nicol Bolas the Ravager was like a real card, seen a lot of play, just like random Grixis control piles?
Mm-hmm.
And then Niv came and sort of took that role.
Yeah, definitely. That's a pretty spot-on evolution there.
But we love to see this. Smoldering Egg is very, very interesting. It does flip, I believe, as soon as you cast... Oh, no, it doesn't, right? It's worded, right?
Yes.
It's whenever you spend mana. So it doesn't just flip to a Dig Through Time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate. I hate when WotC learns about things I don't want them to learn about. I think this list is pretty sweet, though.
Watsy, why do you mess up on the things that hurt us, not the things that help us?
Exactly. Is Dragon's Egg a dragon? Smoldering Egg is a dragon, so it will work for Silmgar. Ooh, that's a 2-drop dragon.
Yeah.
It's way better than playing the stupid 2-mana 1/2 with fire breathing that I was playing.
Whelp?
Yeah, the Whelp. Oh, I gotta get my Sarkins out.
Time to upgrade.
Yep, time to get the Sarkins back out of the basement, go into the crawl space, get the Dragon's deck out.
Two more decks in this league I want to talk about. We have Team of Farsh with Sultai here, Ricky. We will update to Dredge for you. 4 Stitcher Supplier, 4 Narc Amoeba, 4 Seder Wayfinder, 4 Prized Amalgam, 4 Silver Smoke Ghoul, 2 Haunted Dead, 4 Otherworldly Gaze, 4 Grisly Salvage, 4 Witherbloom Command, 4 Creeping Chill, 2 Journey to Despair, 2 Break Entering.
I'm just the only person willing to play God Pharaoh's Gift, I guess, in this world.
I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm bringing out to some locals when I'm allowed back outside again, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, don't worry. You're still my little pug champ.
Dude, thanks, I would man. Be on this-ish right now, right?
Uh-huh.
If it weren't for all of the graveyard hate that is just sitting around because of my Phoenix winnings. The only person in the world to ever win with Phoenix is me. I think this is going to just go down as the most incorrect episode of the entire podcast.
Ricky wrote Phoenix. Ricky made Phoenix, and he told the testing team, it's bad, card's bad, don't even think about trying it out. It's not going to do anything, but we should still leave it in there because the card's cool, and I put a lot of work into it.
Right, right. I did, not going to, just to toot the horn a little bit, the very first Pioneer content that I did help Brian with was a Phoenix, Is It Phoenix build guide.
Oh, yeah, true. That's right.
True. Yeah, so that's been out there since literally 2020. Maybe it might have even snuck out before all the bad stuff happened in 2019.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that I've been on the Phoenix my entire life. And don't take it away from me now that it's good.
Has Nate seen this deck list? Because it's got Witherbloom Command in it.
Witherbloom Command just sort of is just disappointing because it's sorcery.
Yeah.
And then I keep reading it, and the more I read it, the more disappointed I get. I guess, like, at the end of the day, it still does just, like, mill 3 cards, get you a land,
you get to mill 3 and Fatal Push,
and then
right?
It does a random other thing. Well, I mean, it gives -3/-1. You can blow up Rest in Peace. It does blow up Rest in Peace, but you have to mill first because you do the modes in order.
Oh, card order, yeah.
Yeah. Should have thought about that one, Watsy. But a Breaking Entering is very sweet. Can we actually cast the... is there a red mana to cast our Entering?
No.
That's okay. We don't need it.
I tell you what, though. Creeping Chill is still just an annoying card. Like, I streamed that Rogues deck, right? And we played against just, like, Rakdos Dredge. And I just, like...
cried?
I just, all right, we're going to play our Thieves Guild Enforcer. Oh, there goes 2 Creeping Chills. Cool.
Yep. And now I'm losing. My opponent is 12, like the 12-point life swing.
Yeah, great. Cool, thanks.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, and the last deck I want to talk about is Teru 814. We've got a different take on Double Creativity this time. I'm going to go over the deck before I go with the payoff. So we got 1 Flame Blessed Bolt, 4 Exodus Reiteration, 4 Fire Prophecy, 4 Jawari Disruption, 3 Lava Coil, 2 Anger of the Gods, 4 Indomitable Creativity, 3 Prismari Command, 4 Valakut Awakening, 3 Pirate's Pillage, 4 Unexpected Windfall, and what's our creativity payoff? We have 1 World Spine Worm, 1 Xenagos, God of Revels. So we said, no. No Sage and Locust God combo. That you can interact with those cards. World Spine Worm and Xenagos, though, now those are cards that are hard to kill.
Oh my god.
So obviously, you hit both, so you get to you creativity away, 2+ tokens. We hit our World Spine, we hit our Xenagos. Xenagos says, hey, World Spine Worm, here's +15/+15 in haste. Go get them.
So actually, like, I really like this better.
Me too.
We can discard World Spine Worm to our Prismari Commands or our Valakut's Awakenings, right? And it will shuffle itself back into the deck.
Yep.
So we don't have to, like, worry about trying to find, like, the Fire Prophecy to try to, like, put it back in, right? And we could just cast our Xenagos, right? Is there any sort of green? There's no green mana.
Okay. You have so many treasures.
Oh, right. We just cast Pirate's the Xenagos Pillage. And leave it there, right?
Yeah.
If it gets stuck in our hand, we just cast it and leave it there. It'll be fine. It's indestructible. Yeah. This is way better.
This is way better, yeah.
I'm amazed.
Right here.
This is... real big brain play. Pick up your Xenagos and World Spine Worm and play this deck. Indomitable Creativities. Yeah.
One of our more astute listeners heard me say weeks and weeks ago when I was talking about, man, I think there's a Temur Spells deck there. They messaged me about it and I was like, it turns out it's not there. It's not that good. But I did inform them we were working, me, Ruckman, and some of the Discord people behind the scenes on some blue red spells. And essentially it takes advantage of how insane Hullbreaker Horror is, because everybody's trying to beat Phoenix. So you get the Phoenix spells. And again, I do think Unexpected Windfall is an insane card. Like, I was playing Pirate's Pillage before it was cool. Mm-hmm. So Hullbreaker Horror is insane. I think this is probably the way to go. I think this is a way where you get to combo in game one, and then you can just be on the Hullbreaker Horror's insanely good plan. I think you could reasonably, if you don't want to, because one of the things I don't like about this deck is I do think you really want the Valakut's Awakenings. I probably could try playing without them, because again, you can just cast the Xenagos pretty easily with all of our treasure tokens, but I don't want to pick up that card. I don't. So the spells deck that's going to be blue-red doesn't need that card, because you're just trying to get to your Hullbreaker Horrors or flip your thing in the Ices. But man, this is it right here. This is the way to do it. I totally respect the Hullbreaker Horrors in the side. That's obviously what we're doing if our opponent are going to try and cranial extraction us type effects like that. Yeah, I'm 100% with Ricky on this. This is the deck right here.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Oh, good.
No, I'm like, this is like legitimately, like, we were like digging around, like, let's see if we can find some funny decks. And like, I think this is like real.
I want to put together this deck. I really do. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Right. Well, gentlemen, anything else? Any of the deck lists?
Not that I can think of. Yeah, we covered a lot of them. And again, just diversity in this format right now is insane.
The big thing here is, right, like, in this league, we have like 32 different deck lists in this league. 33 deck lists in this league. And like, there is a point where I don't want to say Pioneer is like non-diverse, but like, we are only getting like, 10 to 12 deck lists in these league dumps. We have 33 just different and distinct decks right now. And like, how can you tell me this format isn't great? Doesn't need to be on Arena. Doesn't need to be played at every LGS right now. If they're COVID safe, that is a good reason to not be playing Pioneer right now.
Right.
But you know, like, anyone still out there saying Pioneer is dead just doesn't get it.
100% agree. I mean, you can see with all the sweet events that happened and how many different decks you can play. There's a lot of stuff running around right now. And again, you can see how little of it, especially like with this deck. You can't tell me this is a tuned deck. Like, I absolutely believe in the person playing it. But I think if we talked to them right now and we were like, hey, is this the final version you want to play? I don't think so. Right. I bet there's some cards that they're going to be like, hey, I was trying this for this and I want to make upgrades too. So I absolutely think there's room for improvement in most of these decks. And, you know, who knows if we even need that many Pirate's Pillage. I mean, we need like one Pirate's Pillage and no Pirate's Pillage, two of them, something like that, because we already have Prismari Commands and Unexpected Windfalls.
How many thousand year storms do we need in this deck?
Oh, man, at least a couple, right? No, I mean, Hullbreaker Horror is my new obsession for 7 mana out of the sideboard. Flash can't be countered. It just ends the game. I mean, seriously, this card's so overpowered. And that's why you're seeing the price rise.
You don't want Thousand Year Storm because you'll hit it off creativity.
Right. Oh, I thought it was like, is it getting chance?
It's
artifact or creature
card. Artifact or creature. Okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I just read something. Yeah.
No, you're good. But still, I mean, I think this is a fun way to do it. And again, they somehow find a way to deal with the World Spread Worm, because the Xenagos is at least indestructible. We get 3 5/5s and we get to do it again next turn, and it's still lethal.
That's right. The thing, right? Unless they exile World Spread Worm, it just goes back into the deck again.
This is a really dope look at Pioneer, in my opinion.
Yeah. Pioneer is super great. There's a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, if it's safe for you where you are, go mask up, go play your locals, get your booster shot, go have fun. Pioneer is great right now. We're in for the long haul. We've been here from the beginning. We'll stay here. And I just want to thank you week in, week out, gentlemen, for joining me, and also listeners at home for tuning in, listening, and making us the best place for Pioneer content right now. But yeah, like I said, gentlemen, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me on the tweeters at @its_Christmas.
You can find me on Twitter at also Steve, and on YouTube at Door Monster.
And of course, you can find me at Crew3 Podcast on Twitter. I stream a couple nights a week at Crew3MTG on Twitch. I post the VODs also to YouTube at Crew3MTG. I'll be taking a stream break for next week as I settle into the new apartment. The podcast won't have a break. We'll keep going with the podcast, but I just kind of want to get Maggie settled in the new place, get just life settled in before I start trying to pick up the stream schedule again, have some fun, sort of relax. And plenty of stuff coming up too. Besides the webcam, going to be on the 29th. I've scheduled a MTGO event. It's gonna be 7 ticks budget. More info on both those events in the Discord Tournament Links channel. Remember, in 2 weeks, let's see here, what is that? By the 31st, make sure you have your submission for the Doesn't Slap Challenge for the month. That's no ban list Pioneer, except the fetches are still banned. So be sure to send us in some sweet brews for that. You know, do what your heart wants. Like Chris said, we first announced the challenge. Send us some great stuff. We had some great submissions already, and I'm always looking forward to seeing what we get for Doesn't Slap. Anything else for each and here, gentlemen?
No.
No, let's send them off.
Thank you once again. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.